Guys, how's it going? Doing good. All right. Well, let's go ahead and open up our Bibles to, actually, we're going to be in a few different verses tonight. But first, we're going to be in Jeremiah. So turn to Jeremiah 33:3. We're doing kind of a series called The Pastor's Favorite Passage. And I wanted to share this before we transition into some of the other scriptures, just because I think it's been a verse that has always surfaced at key moments in my life. And if you look back on your life, you've gone through major seasons. You've been through difficult, hard, pressure, testing times. You've been through times of abundance and blessing. You've been through lean times. You've been through a bunch of different seasons. And Jeremiah 33:3 is a verse that God has always just kind of brought up on my radar to read and to be refreshed and to be reminded that God is in control, that he is sovereign, that he has a plan, and that I can trust him. But there's a few things that I need to do. And let me just preface a few things that we're going to talk about tonight by asking this one question. Have you ever felt utterly and absolutely confused about what God is doing or how God is working in your life? Yeah? Good. All right. Well, you're in good company, because we all experience that. If we're not experiencing it in it now, we have in the past, we will in the future. But also, we're in good company because if you look at the men and women of the scriptures, we see that they too were confused. We're not quite sure. Did not understand fully or comprehend how God was working, even though he had given them promises, even though he had said specific things clearly to them. It didn't always seem to work out exactly the way they anticipated. So if you're in that boat tonight, I want to offer some encouragement to you through the scriptures that we'll look at. And the first one is Jeremiah 33:3, and it says, "Call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things that you do not know." This is such a lofty, awesome verse to me for a few reasons. One, as I explained, in those seasons of confusion, what is the main thing that we seek the Lord on? Wisdom. Any other things that we seek the Lord about? Peace. Clarity. Direction. Right? All those things. And true wisdom comes from the Lord. It comes from the scriptures. And in context here, this verse, we need to be reminded that Jeremiah is actually in prison during this time. And the word of the Lord comes to him in prison. And you remember Jeremiah was called to be a prophet and to speak God's word. And he was told not everyone's going to listen to him, but still go out and preach the word, and the word that I have for them, and be faithful to that. And what happens to him? He gets thrown in prison. Things don't turn out the way that we anticipate when we obey the Lord and follow his leading and direction. But the first thing here, as I like to do, is when we look at scriptures, is just pull out some of those words that are jumping off the page. And the first one is call. Call out. Call out to me is the encouragement to Jeremiah when he's rotting away in prison, wondering, what in the world is God doing? How can I accomplish the purpose and will of God here in prison? I need to speak and proclaim his word. And he says, cry out to me. Actually, it says call out, but I just gave away the kind of the definition or the understanding of this word. It literally means to cry out with a loud shout. And we're all men, and I don't know about you, but we don't naturally cry all that often. Maybe you do. That's okay. I don't always cry, but there are seasons that you are so confused and you don't know what is going on that you just cry out to God. Have you ever cried out to the Lord? Not just in a loud voice, but in weeping and in intensity. and in such desperation to hear from him. I think God wants us to do that. And I don't think he wants us to wait for those confusing seasons and times in our life. The encouragement is for us to cry out to God. If we need wisdom, if we don't understand, call upon him, cry out to him. And then the promise is that he'll answer. God will answer. He will answer and show. And this word answer means, it's really cool because it not only means to respond, but it means to respond with a discernible answer. It's something that we can understand, and the word show means to make known clearly and plainly. So whatever you're crying out to God for, whatever season that you are so confused and you don't know what God is doing and you don't know what to do or where to turn, you cry out to God with such an intense plea, whatever that plea is, God desires to answer it clearly and plainly and show you and not hide it, not make it a mystery, but make it clear to you, discernible and understanding. And he says, what is he going to show? Well, sometimes we want God to show us very specific things. And it's good to pray for specific things. Ask him for specific details. Lord, what should I do? Where should I turn? Who should I talk with? And all of those sort of things. But the one thing here that God tells Jeremiah is that he will answer when we call, and he'll show you great and mighty things that you do not know. And this was always the intriguing part of the verse for me. It's a mystery to me because I know that God is in control, and I know that I surrender to him in my life, that he's going to do things that I don't necessarily understand. And that's exciting, but it's also frightening. It's scary. But what you do is when you call unto God, what you're saying is that I surrender. I give up control. Maybe the word for you tonight is call upon him because you've been trying to control it. Calling upon someone who has the answer says that I don't have the answers and I'm dependent on trusting you. But we as men, we want to solve problems. We want to fix them. We want to correct everything. We think we got it all down. But he says, I'll show you great and mighty things. This is cool. Great and mighty things. You know, we are encouraged in Scripture to have a humble heart, to have an honest understanding of who we are, to not think of ourselves more highly than we ought. But also, I believe God wants to do extraordinary things in our lives. Extraordinary things. Scripture says that God will do immeasurably more than what we could possibly think or imagine. I think we limit God on the ability and the things that God can do in our lives. We look at ourselves. Or when we say great and mighty things, who are we emphasizing or glorifying or lifting up in great and mighty things? Oh, I want to do great and mighty things. So that I can draw attention to myself? No. So that our lives can draw attention and shine and reflect God. Glorify him. That's why any great and mighty thing, no matter what crosses your mind when you think of great and mighty things, he wants to show those things to us. And what's cool about this mighty thing that God wants to show us is that literally here in the text, it means that these things are inaccessible. It's kind of a military word, this mystery word. It's kind of a military word. it's inaccessible. It's like a moat around a castle. It's something that is fortified and withheld and fenced in. There are things that God desires to reveal and show to us that only he has access to. And that when we call upon him in surrender to his will, he is the only one who can reveal them. the only one. And he says, these mighty things that are fenced in that we cannot penetrate, those are things that we do not know. And that phrase means not that we haven't experienced it yet, not that we haven't learned some concept of it yet. These are literally things that cannot be acquired by perception, by experience, by education, skill, or instruction, but are solely revealed through God. Great and mighty things that you do not know, I'll show you. I will show you those things. I will reveal them to you. Why? So that you can walk in them. So that I can be glorified in and through your life. What things are you seeking the Lord on today? What things are you confused about in your walk with God? Call upon Him. And I mean cry upon Him. Cry out. Show some emotion. Get behind it. Some intensity on really seeking the Lord. That's what I get out of this verse. That's what the Lord, like, the transition from me going from surrendering my life to the Lord in 1997 before going into the military was a major transition in my life. This verse surfaced. I didn't know what the Navy was going to present to me. I didn't know what experiences I was going to go through. I was scared, but I was also excited. It was crossing into an unknown territory. Call unto me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you do not know. Boy, did God reveal some amazing things to me. He took me to places where I thought I'd never go. He allowed me to experience things that I thought I would never experience. And another transition, going from the military into the ministry, blows my mind how God would call and equip and allow me to serve here at Horizon. Transitions of not knowing exactly what things look like, but God does. Take heart. Call upon and cry upon the one who knows. Now, these next verses relate to this in the sense that we need wisdom. But oftentimes, we try to devise our own plans. And the first verse is Psalm 37. So Psalm 37, verses 23 through 24. And a very similar verse, but has a slightly different look, is Proverbs 16, verse 9. So put your fingers there. We'll look at Psalm 37 first. So when I read this verse, I think, oh, that's such a great verse. That's such good wisdom there. But when you go through times that we just discussed, I think a verse like this comes out in more detail and more meaning and more impact. And in verse 23 of Psalm 37, it says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his ways. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. What's the definition of a good man? So, what's that? A perfect man? Huh? Psalm 1? Uh-huh. Characteristics of a man who abides in the Word of God, who's planted. If we want our steps to be ordered by the Lord, then it says that we need to be good men. What's a good man? Delighting in God, right? What are some characteristics of a good man? Faithful. Yep, obedient, faithful, seeking the Lord, right? These are all characteristics of a good man. But take a look at this word, steps. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. These are literally one step at a time. And when we talk about transitions, or we talk about seasons, or we talk about times where we don't know exactly what is going on in our lives, isn't it encouraging to know that God is with us one step at a time? One step. I understand this verse in a little different light because I served in the military. I was in the Navy for 5 years, and going through boot camp, we understood that a group of people who were in step with one another could accomplish great things. And that we use the word cadence. There is a cadence that is called out by a person, and that cadence literally was the music or the marching music to our footsteps. And that cadence instructed us to put our left foot first and then our right foot and our left foot, and we were all in step with one another. And it's encouraging to know that God walks with us one step at a time. There is a direction and a leading that God takes us in life. But the other side of the coin in times of confusion and frustration is that we want to know the whole story. We want to see the big picture. But God is not always showing us the entire map. He's taking us one step at a time. One step at a time. So, you gave us good descriptions of a good man, but it's interesting that this word here in the Hebrew literally means a strong warrior. I was like, oh, that's cool. Especially because the word ordered is a military term as well. You are commanding someone to do something. There is an issue or an authoritative direction, an instruction or a mandate. But also, there is a promise that God will accomplish that which he desires when we stay in step with him. So a good man is a strong warrior, literally emphasizing strength and ability to fight. And I would just suggest that we need to honestly consider if we are men who are willing to take orders well. Do we take orders from God well? Well, how do we receive his orders? What are some ways that God gives us his orders? Through his word. Through his word, scripture, right? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, right? Through his spirit, he gives us to lead and to guide us into truth and righteousness. So, a good man, a man who is willing and ready and available to take one step at a time with the Lord as he reveals it. But what happens is that oftentimes we think we got it. We got to figure it out. It's like we go on maybe even autopilot and we get comfortable and we're familiar with our surroundings, and that autopilot kicks in and we no longer call upon God. And we no longer cry out to him. We no longer report for duty. We no longer sensitive to the orders of our instructor. And we say, we got this. And what happens? Things start to crumble. You know, things start to fall apart. And I got this little game up here. You guys are familiar with this game? Jenga, right? You guys played this?
Yeah.
Of course. This is just a little bit of an analogy and an example of this type of lifestyle or this type of season or this type of attitude. When we go to construct our lives, when we go to construct our plan that is not based upon God's steps, then we think we've got things pretty solid. It's pretty solid, you know. It's not gonna fall. We can take a little bit. We're ready for whatever we think will come at us. But what's fascinating is that when God gives us direction and he orders our steps, sometimes it is in a complete different direction than what we plan and what we want. And are we willing to be obedient to God's orders and his directions? Because it says here that when we are in step with him, when our steps are ordered by the Lord, he delights in his ways. And you can look at this two ways. God delighting in us because his will is perfected as we are dependent upon him. And also, as we're walking in step with him, it is a joy. It is a pleasure to serve him and to know, okay, all I got to do is take one step. One step. But what happens is that if we aren't in step, what happens is that there's a little bit of a block that kind of starts to come out. And things start to crumble and to fall. So we say, okay, well, don't go too far. We want to put that back in. And we look around elsewhere and we say, okay, well, maybe I can step. I know you're not supposed to do this. It's only one hand, right? Maybe I can construct it this way. And we think, okay, yeah, you know what? God told me to go that way, but I'm not ready for that. And a little bit of a block. Little bit of a wobble in our lives. Because we're planning our own ways. But he's saying, don't do that. Trust me. Call upon me. I want to delight in you and you in me. Because it goes on to say in verse 24, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholds him with his hand. He upholds him. Though he fall. This word fall is such a fascinating word. It talks about failure. And as men, we hate failure. We hate it. I hate it. I hate failing. I like to set goals. I like to do things well. And when I fail, it sucks. It's a blow. It's a hit. And this word fall has to deal with a wide variety of failures. It could be a moral failure. It could be sin in our lives. It could be an emotional failure. It could be a spiritual failure. It could be a relational failure. It could be a professional failure. But the scripture says that though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down. Who is he? The one who is in step with God. So if we are not in step with him, and we take a failure, and we take a hit in our lives, our life is even more shaken. It's even more able to fall. So he's saying, you know what? You will fall. You will fail. We will fall. But God is there to uphold us. And we will not be utterly cast down. That means to be thrown out, discarded, hurled, or carried away as useless. In seasons of failure, remember that God hasn't cast you out. God's not done with you. In a moral failure, there's a word called repentance. Repent. Turn around. Trust him. Confess your sin. And he is faithful and just to forgive you. If it's a relational failure, there's another R word. Reconciliation. Forgiveness. Go back and be reconciled. There are lessons to be learned, but we are not utterly cast down. And that's such a great encouragement. We will fail, men. But if we are fail, we will fail. But I want to fail right. I don't want to fail by making my own plan. If I'm going to fail, I want to fail Sometimes we'll take those little pieces and say, oh, it's cool. I want to fail because I have stepped out of faith and said, God, you can do whatever you want to do. So is it failure? No. I mean, you look at David. He was told that he was going to be this king. He was the anointed king. How many years did he spend as a cockroach being hunted, living in caves? Is that failure? God was doing things. He's doing things. And this quote that I, Mark Batterson. We usually focus on what we're doing or where we're going, but God's primary concern is who we're becoming in the process. I'm focusing on how I can keep this thing together. I'm focusing in on how I can keep it from falling apart. And we're juggling all these things, and we think, oh, yeah, we got this. Even my foundation, I got this. And yet, saying, trust me, though you fall, you shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholds him. That word uphold is to rest and to support, to lean upon and brace oneself. The Lord is bracing himself against us. Why? Because in those times of confusion, frustration, just not knowing what's going on in our lives because what God has said he would do hasn't happened, and what God said where we would be, it's not happening. He's saying, I got you, man. I got you. Lean on me. When you're not strong, I'll be your friend. Right? He lean on me. Why? Because we lean on Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he'll direct your path. Lean on him. He's the support. He's the one to sustain you. But no. I lean on God. You know what I lean on. Ooh, I'm not ready to pull any of these guys out. Lord, oh, don't do that. Right in the middle. I'm going to go for the jugular, gentlemen. Oh, Lord. I lean on my salary. My money. That. I can make it through. It's right in the middle. What are you leaning on? God says, lean on him. Because the strength is not in ourselves. We don't have that strength. We don't have the strength. And the hand, that's not God's physical hand. That's a figure of speech of God's strength and power in time of weakness. Because you feel like you're going to topple. You've been leaning and making plans your own way. And God says, I'm ordering you to do something. Are you going to show up? Are you listening to me? Oh, you say you serve me. Oh, you say you worship me. Oh, you say you love me. If you love me, you obey my commandments. Do what I'm telling you to do. Oh, but God, it's uncomfortable. I'm not ready. I don't care. I want you to do that. Lean on him. Proverbs 16, verse 9. Same verse, a little different view. We've been talking about it already, so. A man's heart plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. This is a hard one to swallow. This one's hard. Because it is good to plan. Okay? Don't get us wrong here. We need to plan. We need to pray. We need to prepare. We need to take care of business. But as we are planning in our hearts, there can be some bad things that happen. Why? Because, well, Jeremiah says the heart's deceitfully wicked. So we have this inner mind. We have this selfish will. We have this understanding and resolution and determination to do things, to want things, to run after things. And I think to some degree, God has wired us that way. But if we are planning and devising and calculating all these plans and have left out the God component of saying at any time, at any way, I can step in and say, about face. Turn around. Not because it's bad, not because you're in sin, not because it's evil, but I got something else. Someone who is calling upon the Lord, who is obedient and surrendering to Him, who's planning and saying, okay, God, I delight myself in You, is willing to take a step, to take a step, to take a step. Oh, no, to take a right step. And I go, keep going this way. Oh, okay, go this way. We are not set on one direction. But we plan. We got this in our heart. Okay, God, let's do this. But if our plans may be motivated by an intense determination, but could be severely missing divine ordination, severely absent from God's blessing and direction in our lives. Be like, head down, move forward, conquer. But no, I got something different. Are we willing? Are we ready? Are we able? Are we surrendering to God coming in and saying, I want to do something new. I want to change direction. I've got you. I've been preparing you. The process is more important of who we're becoming, not what we're doing for God, not, you know, all these great things that we're doing, but what kind of man are we becoming in the process? And as we get our plans, and we work on those plans, and those plans fall. How do we pick up the pieces? What's there when we rest all that we have, all that we desire, all that we want on our plans? And we work hard at it. And we try to sustain it. But we're leaning on our own strength. Gentlemen, your tower will fall one day. I think there's some great and mighty things that God wants to do in our lives that can only be accomplished by overriding our plan and ordering new steps for us. But the question we must ask ourselves is this: am I willing to trust? Am I willing to obey into unknown and simply hold on tightly to Him? Not hold on to the comfortable, not hold on to the familiar. The steps of a good man are directed by the Lord. Have you asked God recently, God, direct and order my step one step at a time? When was the last time you literally cried out to God because you were so desperate to hear from Him? These are questions to consider, thoughts to think about as we go into our small group. And really, 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 really pray about how God is leading our lives and what we're trusting in. And when we make plans, have we calculated or have we considered the calculation that God has? I want to do something new. I want to do something different. So, Lord, we know that in other parts of Scripture, You say that a man who builds his house upon the sand, the winds are going to come, the waves are going to beat, floods are going to rise, and that house will fall. And that man is a person who hears Your words and does not do them. And we don't want to be those type of men. We want to seek You earnestly and not get too comfortable in how we've constructed our tower. Because trying to sustain that or leaning upon certain things inevitably just leads to failure and frustration. But God, we know that you're moving us beyond that to faith, to trust. So I pray you'd encourage these men if they're in any season of wondering, God, what are you doing? Thankful that you're faithful to answer. Reveal it in clear ways to them. And help us to just be content with just the next step. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, God bless you guys.